Teach your children three things: love for your prophet, love for his family, love for Quran recital. Teach your children three things: love for your prophet, love for his family, love for Quran recital.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you in our program Parenting Skills. In this program, we talk about how can we raise our children better. How can we do better parenting? Alhamdulillah, we conducted a survey, so we got a very good response from you. You have written to us, we've got few cases to discuss. And in this program, we invite a professional doctor, Dr. Zira Kattari, with us. And alhamdulillah, he gives us a professional advice. So let's go towards our guest speaker, Dr. Zira Kattari. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Asim, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, ala kulli hal. How are you, Rizwan?
I'm good too. Alhamdulillah, Asim, jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much once again giving your precious time. I hope, mashallah, Madani Channel viewers, they are also waiting for their responses and your professional advice. Let's take the very first case in this episode, inshallah. It is a boy, 2 years old, and no physical health illness, no mental health illness, no regular medication. And the problem, the parents they are facing, he is very stubborn, hits a lot, doesn't listen, and has separation anxiety. As far as family history is concerned, the grandma, she is suffering from depression, and they have not adopted any strategy so far, but they want a professional advice.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to really appreciate the responses that we received from parents or guardians in terms of the challenging behavior of their children.
Definitely.
And we hope that through this program, we'll be able to help many parents, inshallah. And as I previously mentioned, that this is all about parenting skills. Parents hopefully will be, you know, thinking of me giving the advice about how to change their, obviously, approaches towards the children. Now, clearly, this is a two-year-old child who is stubborn.
Very young.
And he hates, and there's separation anxiety. First of all, I think the mother may be aware of this term, separation anxiety. But what happens is, this is a special term.
Okay.
When the children are young,
okay,
when they're very little, let's say 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, they don't really have an understanding who is who.
Yeah.
So the child will be very comfortable with whoever picks them up. But from the age of like 6 months plus up to a year or so, they begin to recognize who their parents are.
Okay.
And especially their bond with the mother develops. Now, when the mother is there, the child is happy, they are exploring the world around them. But if the mother gets out of their sight, every child will get a little bit anxious. But someone who has a separation anxiety, they'll be very difficult to console in the absence of the mother.
Okay.
They will be crying excessively, they will be upset excessively, and until the mother comes back, they will obviously not be to their normal self. And when the mother comes back, obviously, whether it's a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, and then they will initially try to rebel,
okay,
express their displeasure, mm-hmm, that why did the mother leave them? Now, it's a child who is 2 years old, and you know, alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them this sort of like understanding the children.
Mashallah.
But because this is slightly abnormal, so there must be a reason behind this.
Okay.
Now, from looking at this response, it clearly looks like there is some family history of depression.
Okay.
Grandmother especially, whether mother has depression or anxiety, I'm not sure, it's not written in this, but it is reasonably possible that the mother may have some sort of mental health issues as well. Separation anxiety has got a lot to do with how the child bonds with the mother and how the mother bonds with the child.
Okay.
There has to be a healthy relationship. As the child is growing up, the child needs to learn to be independent.
Okay.
So in terms of exploring their world and so forth, very commonly when children go to the nursery, when they are age 3 or so, or sometimes they can go early as well, this is the first sort of step of separation anxiety, because now the mother isn't going to be there, and you know, for at least 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
So the child finds it initially difficult to settle, which is normal for about a week or two. And after about 2 weeks, the child will settle, and they will begin to settle fairly quickly. And again, someone who's got separation anxiety, they may obviously take much longer. And one of the reasons for this is that the mother herself may be struggling to actually deal with this anxiety herself as well. Mm. She may be worried about the child,
yeah,
how the child is doing. Mm. She herself may become emotionally upset because she saw the child crying when she gave it to the nursery manager and so forth. So in many ways, what I'm trying to get at is that sometimes the mother herself may have some deficiency,
okay,
in terms of managing her own emotions.
Okay.
And that's possibly what is reflecting in this child as well. So that's the sort of separation anxiety. The child may be hitting the mother.
Yeah, this is something interesting. 2 years old, is it common, doctor?
Well, I mean, what can happen is that the child, generally, if you look at it, the children, they do try to, become aggressive against other children.
Okay.
Okay. They may snatch their hair, they may bite other children, or they may simply sort of push the other child away.
Okay.
And that is, although it is not something that is good, but the parents now need to teach their children,
okay,
that this is unacceptable.
Hmm.
But mostly children will do that. But what is happening with the parents is that, sometimes there's this natural phenomenon. In the beginning, when the child hits someone, we treat it as a play.
Yeah.
There is a play fight that the parents have with the child. And sometimes the child hits the parent, and the parents sort of laugh,
mm-hmm,
or they
enjoy.
Want the child to do it again, and they enjoy. And this is what the child will end up doing. And even when the child is angry, they will do the same behavior. But again, this is something that the parents have to teach their child, that this is not acceptable behavior. And slowly, slowly, they will obviously learn not to do it. But in this particular child, where there's an issue of separation anxiety, it may be more in terms of the difficult emotion that this child has. And I think obviously the mother needs to discuss this with her own doctor,
mm-hmm,
and see whether there is any help that she herself can receive. And also, what is not clear from this is, are there any children in this family? Or is this the first child? What was the mother's own childhood like? Does she have anxiety and depression? So these are additional things. Now, when I mention these things, it is possible that the mother or the other parents, they may feel that probably they are being victimized or they are being blamed. Now, this is not, victimization or blaming. Our aim here is to raise the awareness.
Definitely.
And all of these issues, they can be resolved by going to the doctor and getting the help that you need.
Doctor, I would like to just stop you here, because this next case is exactly similar, but there's a little bit of age difference. There's a boy, and 2 years old, whereas the girl is 7 years old. The problem they mentioned is easily distracted, can't make friends, 7, will not listen first time. And as far as they've adopted the strategy with offered treats, being extra nice, no family history. So how do you correlate these two cases? Because one thing is common in them, that the stubbornness, both children. So this age group, the stubbornness differs or not?
Now, this particular case next case that you're dealing with is, to me, professionally, it looks a completely different case.
I see.
The only similarity between these two cases is the stubbornness.
Yes.
But if we look at this second case, girl who is 7 years of age, and she is easily distracted,
yes,
finding it difficult to make friends,
yes,
won't listen for the first time,
yes,
which means it's a concentration issue.
Okay.
A child who is around this age, 5, 6, 7,
okay,
who are easily distracted, who have concentration difficulties, who have a bit of a social interaction problems, then, and they can't sit still. Yes. They're very, what we call as hyperactive.
Okay.
Now, I cannot comment on this individual child, and it's always almost impossible to actually confirm a diagnosis, but I could suggest that what could be a possibility, or at least this is something that needs to be explored mm-hmm. in this 7-year-old child, and that possibility is, does this child have hyperactivity disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is sometimes known as ADHD. Once again, I'm not saying this child has it, but this possibility needs to be explored,
okay.
and especially the symptoms that the parents have actually suggested. And at this age, this sort of behavior could be taken as a naughty behavior
yeah.
or a naughty child. Yeah. And certainly this used to be the case 10, 20 years ago when little was known about these disorders and the problems. And these children were labeled as naughty children.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this day and age, if there is a diagnosis of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which can only be confirmed after quite an extensive investigation where the parents give their feedback, the school gives their feedback, the educational psychologist, they will be observing the child, and then the specialist, mental health specialist, child and adolescent mental health services, CAMHS, they confirm the diagnosis, then some of these children can be helped with a medication.
Okay.
And it helps with their concentration, it helps to calm them down, it helps them to obviously control their behavior in a much better way, mm-hmm. which will actually help the children. So certainly, in this second case, that's a sort of a line of investigation that I would request the parents to first yes. follow. If, you know, the diagnosis is confirmed, then obviously they will receive the appropriate help. Otherwise, the professionals will be able to help them how to manage the behavior if that's not the case.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Very good. So you have heard, alhamdulillah, that you can seek advice from the local psychiatrist, or you can seek the help from the GP, the way MashaAllah Rasul has explained to you. Rasul, one common problem which was mentioned here, I need more of your thoughts on that, the stubbornness. Sometimes children are very stubborn. You know, I don't want to eat, they're fussy in eating, I don't want to eat this, I don't want to do that. Okay, I want to go there, for example, for that such sports activity, I want to go there. Or sometimes people, the parents, they say, you go to school, they become stubborn, no, I don't want to go. So what do you say on this?
Now, this sometimes can be cute at times, in the beginning certainly, but as the stubbornness carries on, it becomes a big issue,
yeah.
becomes a big problem. Sure. What is happening again, if we look at one of our previous episodes where we looked at needs not being met, and then it giving rise to emotions, and then the child deciding when to actually show their emotions or not. In this case, what is happening is that the children have got certain demands, certain needs that they want to be fulfilled. And because previously what would have happened is parents would have given in to their demands.
Sure.
And now they are simply exploiting that fact that if I am stubborn, if I am ziddi, I will get my way. So this is again, if I could say that shortcoming from the parents' point of view, that because they have been more lenient towards these children, and especially whenever there is a first child in the family, the parents themselves are very inexperienced, mm-hmm. and especially in Western society where you have very little help from the grandparents, who are experienced and they can help really well in this mm-hmm. case, but everyone wants to live independently. Mm-hmm. So the advice and the help that they need in terms of regulating the emotions of this child and being firm with these children and not letting into their demands unnecessarily. That's one issue. The second issue can happen is that, the mother and the father, they have different approach to the child.
Okay.
One's lenient, one's strict.
Hmm.
Now that's not the good combination at all.
Okay.
They both have to adopt the same approach. Yeah. And what happens is, let's say, if one of the parent A is sort of
stopping them or something.
Stopping them, and parent B is very kind and gives in. Now this child is then going to exploit that.
Sure.
So both parents need to adopt the same approach, set the rules, try to explain the rules to these children in a way that they can understand, and don't give in. And try to understand their emotions, and from the beginning, what is wrong, don't encourage that behavior by laughing, by sort of being happy, or by telling the child to repeat it and so forth. It will become a problem in the future.
Sometimes what happens, you must have seen some children at the shopping mall, maybe when you are doing grocery or something, they want to buy a toy, right? They will sit on the floor, they will cry a lot, they will not leave their premises. And sometimes parents, they are really worried on what to do in this situation, and they are really stubborn. That. What would you say on this?
Now that's a very sort of practical example. Where, you know, almost 100% of the parents would agree that they have not just once, but many times they've come across this situation.
Yes.
First of all, whenever you go to shopping mall or to supermarket, you need to sit with your children and say to them, this is what we're going to get.
Okay.
Right? We are, let's say, not going to get your toys.
Okay.
So you're not going to ask for any toys.
Mm-hmm.
Because for this and this reason.
Okay.
Okay. Or if this is a trip to actually go and buy their toys,
right,
you need to actually
mention
them,
how many or what you
mention to them, this is the price range, or this is what you want, or they would have already pre-selected, this is what exactly I want.
Okay.
You go, get that, come back, come out.
All right.
But where you are saying is that sometimes parents do not set these boundaries. It's absolutely important that you set the boundaries.
Okay.
You set the limits of, you know, their needs or their demands,
and you stick to that.
And you stick to that so that they don't end up exploiting your weaknesses when you are in that shop. So because parents don't set these boundaries, the child will say, I want this, I want this, I want this. And sometimes it's natural to children. They forget. So even if you sat with them, we're not going to get any toys this particular time, or it is only your brother or sister who's going to get because you got it previously, but then when you go, they've forgotten and they end up picking up a toy.
Yes.
Now this is where you gently sit with them and you say to them that this is not acceptable, and we have obviously treated you. In the future, you will get your toy or whatever you need when it is appropriate. Or we have agreed that you need to display this particular good behavior to earn this reward. And today, we are not buying this toy.
Okay.
Do it in a nice way. You know, when you are doing this, sitting with the child, you should be hugging the child in a neutral, positive way and smiling at them so that the child doesn't think of it as an aggressive approach.
Okay.
Sometimes what happens is, the child may accept it, or he may still be clinging to the toy. You need more time to convince him. Rather than making an argument there and then, okay, start walking with the child, go and look for something else. And whilst you are walking around, you are constantly having that dialogue with the child.
Okay.
And you will have to, because this is not needed, right? Money does not mean any, even if it's 10 pence toy. But you need to, as I said, stick to your rule.
Sure.
It's not needed. We agreed beforehand that he's not going to get it.
Yeah.
Even if it's 10 pence toy, he is not going to get that. And you need to keep explaining the reasons to him.
Good.
Ultimately, even if he doesn't accept, you know, he's going to put the toy to the, obviously, the counter. And you tell the shopkeeper, we are not buying the toy.
Okay.
And what should happen is, obviously, I'm assuming the two parents are together. So one parent could tell the other one, take the children in the car. You manage the situation,
good,
not bought the toy. Now when you will come home or in the car, the child will ask. Now you are in a much more manageable situation, and it will be much more convenient for you rather than obviously being, dealing with an angry child in a store. You are now dealing with an angry child in a car or in your own home environment.
MashaAllah. Many respected viewers of Madani Channel beautifully explained, MashaAllah, how to deal with a stubborn child. We've got another case in front of us. There is a boy, Nasha, and the age group is a bit higher, 16 years old. No physical health illness, no mental health illness, and no regular medication. Nasha, the problem the parents they are facing is that has been excluded from college due to disruptive behavior and being late. And it says, he is always late and ill-prepared. He has made bad company and talks using gangster words. We fear he may be doing illegal activities, but do not know why, as he has a religious and caring home background and have always tried to keep him on a right path. That's what the parents say. We have tried to keep him on the right path. He has anger, shouts and punches doors and walls. He sometimes comes home with red eyes, and if he asks, he says he is tired. He then has no control over his emotions, crying, shouting, and getting angry. And as we asked that what strategies they have adopted, so in that they have mentioned, we have given him one-to-one, taken him out, listened and tried to explain, kept him away from friends, supported his choice of going to a far college to stay away from bad company and bad crowd, taken phone away as punishment. This is what they have tried. And the question is that if any family members, they've got any issues, so they've written yes to that. And the dad's brother, he has some sort of illness, but they haven't mentioned what kind of problem they are facing.
First of all, this is a very
complicated.
This is a very complicated, very sad story as well. I make dua for the parents of this child. That may Allah Azzawajal give them sabr, and make dua for this child. That may Allah Azzawajal help him to stay on the right path. Without mentioning any more detail, the parents have actually quite extensively written down his problems, and it is fairly clear that this adolescent or teenager, he is abusing drugs. The red eyes, emotional imbalance, anger issues, feeling tired, these are signs of drug abuse. And clearly there are enough signs in there in terms of the bad company, being excluded from the college,
use of language,
and gangster language. This child is at number of different risks. And one of these risks is obviously joining a gang, taking drugs, which is going to cause obviously lots of problems from a criminal point of view, also from mental health point of view. Clearly the relationships affected, and you know, this individual, to fund his drug habit, he will end up doing, you know, obviously either petty crime or knife crime or even, gun crime. Allah. Now, unfortunately, it seems very scary, but that's the reality. I don't want to obviously, scare, but
this is a unanimous response anyway, because it's not mentioned who is that family and who we are talking about. But I think it's a very important case for the viewers of Madani Channel who may be having such signs in their own children. The way we were discussing and the reason you're mentioning that it could be a drug use. So I think it's very informative for them if they listen with care. And if you find such signs within your child, then you should also be very, very careful on this. And you need to seek this advice, learn it. How can, inshallah, we resolve it?
And it also looks that obviously parents are doing quite a lot in terms of trying to keep him away from the bad company, in terms of sending him to probably a hostel in another
different
city,
choice
so
of
that
college.
His network with bad people is broken, his bad company is replaced. And these are the things that, you know, they're trying. However, unfortunately, it is either not working or it is likely to fail. Someone like this, you would actually need professional help. Now, professional help from who? I mean, obviously, one good thing is that he's only 16, which means the parents can legally discuss the issues with the doctor and the other mental health professionals.
Yes.
But they have to convince their own child to actually seek help. And I hope, I mean, whether they can use this program to, you know, explain to him. Because ultimately, his whole future will be destroyed if he does not change.
True.
Now, once the drugs get into the system, then it is very, very difficult. Now, obviously, he may be taking drugs, and we don't know which one he may be taking. But once the drugs get into the system, it's the addiction. Then lots of people, they want to give up, but they can't give up because of that addiction. And the body, the brain needs these drugs to function normally. And if you don't take drugs, then you show withdrawal symptoms, which are extremely severe and worse depending upon what illicit drugs you've been taking. So for all these reasons, I think, I mean, he himself, to help him and his future and his family,
he needs to go to
see the GP, the doctor. Or there are other services from mental health point of view that they can help him to come off drugs as well. The other thing is that I would like to mention here is if he is already part of the gang culture, then the additional factor that the parents have is even if he wants to come out of this, the people in the gang, they will threaten him. They will give him threats. They will threaten to harm him. And many times we've heard stories where people, they want to actually give up that gangster lifestyle, but now because of the way that they've adopted the lifestyle and these other people who are controlling things, they won't let them come out. So this is where, in my opinion, they need the help of the medical professionals, mental health professionals, and at the same time, help from the police as well.
So you just mentioned that if somebody is involved in such sort of setup of the drug use and gangs, but those, they are new. There could be some youngsters, they're watching us and they're listening to us. It's a very, very sad incident happened in London that there was a boy, maybe he was not part of that gang, but due to some reason he was sitting in that car. So other gang came, they shot a bullet, right? And he got hit. And he is really into a severe disability. Doctors, they're saying, if he is not recovered. So he was on bed for maybe a month or so. So this is what happens if you hang around with bad company. Even you're not part of them. So these are the consequences. But if you become part of that particular group, then definitely, as mentioned by Dr. Sharp, what could happen? What are the far-reaching effects? They are really, really worse. And they are really unbelievable. So try to be away from such gangs. This is what we could advise from such bad crowds. Try to avoid it. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us ability and tawfiq that we can associate with the right people. Dawat Islami is a beautiful atmosphere. We can come and join weekly gatherings of Dawat Islami. You can find out your local brothers of Dawat Islami. You can also associate yourself in a right atmosphere, right environment, inshallah, that will help us to be on the right path.
Two things I'd like to mention more in this one.
Please.
Clearly, the family is quite religious. So first of all, we can be very judgmental. In the community, people may think, oh, he's, mashallah, so religious, but look at his children. They are off track. But one thing is we can't be judgmental. The parents are trying their best. Mm-hmm. And, if the parents have tried their best and he's still in the bad company, then, as I mentioned, that they will need additional help. Sometimes, now this is a very sensitive point that I'm going to make, and I will have to say that not to these parents, but generally speaking, some families, they are way too strict. They literally force religion upon their children. It does not become a pleasant experience at all. This is nothing to do with the religious teachings or anything. It is to do with their harsh approach.
How they implement it.
And how they implement it. And this is completely, our beautiful religion teaches us to be kind. And for some religious parents, rather than being kind, they are very strict. They are very authoritarian.
But Islam says you should be using wisdom.
And then what happens is, then these children, when they are reaching the age where now they are becoming independent physically, they are getting more powerful. Mm-hmm. Now they will rebel. Sure. And that is a likelihood that some of these children who belonged to, who came from religious families, parents absolutely, you know, five-time namazi and practicing Muslim, but they were too strict, and these children are now rebelling because their parents should not have adopted that particular approach.
Yes. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, beautifully advised by our Dr. Zirek Attari, I hope this information must have benefited you. Inshallah, keep watching Madani Channel. We'll be coming back with another beautiful and informative episode for you, inshallah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Teach your children three things: love for your prophet, love for his family, love for Quran.